Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Haiham Tadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Svitam Sha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Siddhadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Thruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, Text Number 7. Brahmana. What's the problem? Oh. Brahmana, anya, kutaha, nabir, vipra, mangala pujita, yasya, parshi, jaga, isham, darshayam, ashu, ojasa, brahmanyon yakuto nabir, Vipramangala Pujita Yasya Barhishi Yagesham Darshayam Asur Ojasa Brahmanonya Kuto Nabir Vipramangala Pujita Yasya Barhishi Yagyesham Darshayam Asur Ojasa Matajis. Brahmanya, a devotee of the Brahmanas. Anya, any other. Kutaha, where is. Nabe, besides Maharaj Nabi. Vipra, the Brahmanas. Mangala Pujita, well worshipped and satisfied. Yasya, of whom? Varhishi, in the sacrificial arena. Jaga Isham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies. Darshayam Ashu, showed Ojasa by their Brahminical prowess. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The second prayer is this: who is the better worshipper of the Brahmins than Maharaj Nabi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmins to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan in person. Please repeat. The second prayer is this: who is the better worshipper of the Brahmins than Maharaj Nabi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmins to their full satisfaction. The Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, in person. The Brahmanas engaged as priests in the sacrificial ceremony were not ordinary Brahmins. They were so powerful that they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their prayers. As Maharaj Nabi was able to see the Lord face to face, unless one is a Vaishnav, he cannot call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord does not accept an invitation unless one is a Vaishnav. Therefore it is said in the Padma Purana, Sat Karma Vipano Vipro Mantra Tantra Visharada. A Vaishnava Gurur Nasyad Vaishnava Swapako Guru. Scholarly Brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But a person born in a family of lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. These Brahmanas were certainly very, very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. They were competent in the performance of the Vedic rituals. And over above this, they were Vaishnavas. Therefore, by their spiritual powers, they could call on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, enable their disciple Maharaj Nabi to see the Lord face to face. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word Ojasa means by dint of devotional service. So the verse again: Brahman Yomya Kuto Nabhir Vipra Mangala Pujita Yasya Baharshi Yagesham Darshayam Asur Ojasa. The second prayer is this: who is a better worshipper of the Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their Brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, in person. Mam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyaya Deva Siddharana. Quite unusual that Brahmins are so powerful that just by chanting the mantras, Krishna came. Of course, to be a qualified Brahmin in the Veda culture was a little bit more serious than getting first initiation and then waiting a year or so and then getting second initiation. The Brahmins were actually, well, there were different kinds of Brahmins. As it says, Janma Jayate Shudra. In Kali Yuga, everyone is born a Shudra. And generally, after being born as a Shudra, one, by training and education in modern society, one becomes lower than an animal. But Janma Jayate Shudra, Sanskara, by Samskara, then one becomes a Dvija, a twice born. Twice born means, just like the birds are also twice born. We don't give them a sacred thread, though, although they're all twice born. Twice born means that the bird is born in the womb of the mother bird, and then it's born as an egg, and then it's born again from the egg. So it's twice born, born from the mother, and then born from the egg. But Dvija means we were born into the material world in ignorance, and the next birth is by we come into knowledge. That's actually birth. We are born again. Even the Christians said, there's a group of Christians called the born-again Christians. The difference is that if we follow the Vedic process, that we won't be born again, and the generally fanatical religious people, by following their process, they're born again, but they're born again and again and again. So they're certainly born agains. But the process of becoming free from birth is that one has to transcend the material energy. As long as there is some attachment to the material energy, we have to take birth. Of course, the advantage of being of aspiring or practicing devotional service is that we're assured that we'll get at least an equal birth as our present birth, if not a higher birth, with better opportunities to make further spiritual progress. But to actually become a qualified Brahmin was not so easy. The Brahmachari Guru Kale Vasandanta Guru Arhitam. They go and live with the spiritual master. Just like Krishna and Sudama, they were living with their spiritual master. It was not a very comfortable position. They had to endure hardships, collect wood in the forest, for instance. And collecting wood in the forest meant that sometimes it was a storm and they didn't take with them an umbrella, an extra prasadam in case they got lost. They had to find some cave in the midst of the downpour and there was no light. You don't go to a cave with a nice bed in it and some light and some extra prasadam in the refrigerator in the cave in case you have to stay there for some time. No, it's quite austere. There's probably so many other living entities that are living in the cave with you that you find. Some of them probably not so pleasant. In any case, Krishna himself, although he's God, he underwent the austerities required of an ordinary brahmachari in the guru, in the school of his spiritual master. And what was the idea of the austerities is that by surrender, one becomes qualified to hear. Right now, in the material concept of life, we're surrendered, but to the wrong thing, namely the urges of our senses and the mental concoctions of our mind, and being bewildered by our conceptions that we have and being agitated by our senses, we very easily forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the whole purpose of knowledge. Therefore, austerity was considered to be favorable. Even the Brahmins normally, they voluntarily go through austerity. We find that when the Brahmins, if someone wanted to achieve something in the Vedic culture, they didn't set up a factory somewhere. Nor did they make some deals on the stock market. Nor did they go to Harvard to get some degree. No, they went into the forest and did some austerity. Because by such austerity, they could become detached from their senses and mind, and by becoming detached from the senses of mind, they could actually hear the knowledge coming through the Vedic, through the line of disciple succession, and that knowledge, when spoken by a self-realized soul, was powerful enough that one would become self-realized just by hearing it. But two things had to be there. One of them is that you'd have to hear from a person who's actually self-realized. And the second is that we'd have to be, the person hearing would have to be qualified to hear properly so they could actually hear what the self-realized person was saying. Of course, all is not lost, because we can see that neither we may be self-realized, nor the persons who are telling us may be completely self-realized either. So what happens? Well, sometimes not much happens, but what should happen is that we're trying to hear the best we can, rather than think, oh, another day, another class. I got to go there and they're going to tell me the same. I already know what they're going to tell me. Even before he starts moving his lips, he's going to tell us Krishna is God. I already know that. And he might even tell us we're not the body. I already heard that millions of times before. Maybe they'll tell some jokes and I'll be able to stay awake for half the class. Maybe, who knows? Let's see. Or maybe there's a story that will put me to a nice story so that when I go to sleep during class, I'll dream very peacefully. No, actually, if we had heard even the most elementary teaching from Bhagavad Gita, namely that we're not the body, all our anxieties would immediately go away. Nisoshiti, nakangshiti. And we immediately see all living entities on the same level. We wouldn't think that here is a bird, here is an ant, here is an American, here is a male, here is a female. We'd see everyone as a spiritual soul, not just theoretically. In class, everyone is a spiritual soul, and outside I have a lot of friends and enemies. No, we'd see everyone on the same spiritual level, and we'd always be joyful at every moment, just if we were attentive enough just to listen carefully to what's being said. Of course, the speaker would have to also theoretically have realized that he is not their body or she's not their body. But even if that the speaker wasn't powerful enough, if we were listening attentively enough to the right philosophy, the potency would be there for us to realize what was being said. So how many of us, after hearing again that we're not the body, that the body's changing, but we're not changing, how many of us become fully self-realized? Of course, blame it on me that I'm not self-realized. I was listening with full attention during class, but that rascal speaker who's in the Pali concept of life repeated the message again. Therefore, I couldn't realize it fully. No, it doesn't exactly work like that. In other words, it is clear as Krishna's words that our bodies are changing and we're not changing. But still, we don't realize it. So is it the fault of the speaker or is it my fault? Well, if you blame the speaker, then listen to Prabhupada saying it. And he can't blame Prabhupada. Therefore, the problem is we don't listen attentively enough. And why don't we listen attentively enough? Because we have our plans. How we're going to satisfy our senses. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, the next day. We have our anxieties, all the problems that we have. Therefore, we don't listen. And why is the problem? We don't give up the plans and we don't give up our anxieties, our lamentations. And therefore, we can't hear. But in the Gurukul, they'd be trained up by these austerities. And what's the biggest austerity? Surrender. no one likes the word surrender. Matter of fact, if you go and read the newspaper, how many times do you see the word surrender? That someone voluntarily surrenders. No, they tell everyone else to surrender. The army conquers the other country, and they say, what's the first thing they say? Surrender to me, not to Krishna, to me. So we don't like that word surrender. The conditioned soul is a little averse to it, especially if the surrender involves austerity. Just like even to follow Chaturmasya has become a big austerity, not to take green leafy vegetables during the month of the previous month or the yoga now. I'm not saying perhaps there are reasons, but everything has become an austerity, a big austerity. But without austerity, without controlling our mind and senses, without paying attention, which is the biggest austerity, and becoming free from our false ego, we can't get transcendental knowledge. Therefore, the process of devotional service is not devoid of austerity. Of course, we're not going to the middle of a lake during winter and burying ourselves up to our necks in ice water the whole night and chanting Hare Krishna. That kind of austerity is probably, it's too much for Kali Yuga. But there are other austerities, like just giving up our bodily concept of life and agreeing to do the service that we're supposed to do, to inquire, what should I be doing now? That's a big austerity, because we already have our plans, we're going forward with our plans. We don't really think very carefully, what should I actually be doing now? Because if we thought like that, someone would tell us to do something we don't want to do. So that's part of the austerity, to be inquisitive. Tad viganartha sa gurum eva abhigachet. So the brahmacharis would live in the gurukul, and if it was time for prasadam and they weren't called, then they'd fast. Not that this rascal spiritual master, he has such a bad memory, he forgot to call me for prasadam, but never mind. I have my prasadam left over from the last feast, so I'm not going to starve. And I can call up for a Del Pizza or whatever it is, and they'll come and deliver it by bullock cart. It should get here by tonight. No, if the spiritual master, for one reason or another, hopefully you didn't get a spiritual master in Gurukul with a bad memory. But if he didn't call the students to take prasad, then they'd fast. So this obedience and sense and mind control and all these other things are necessary, because with them, then one can actually hear with attention. One becomes qualified to hear transcendental knowledge, and by hearing transcendental knowledge, then we have an opportunity to apply that knowledge and make progress in spiritual life. Because for us, our sadhana and bhakti, we're coming, and just by putting our bodies here is very nice, because that means to a certain extent we've surrendered enough to be willing to put our body, at least to see what the speaker is doing. Maybe he's waving his hands, and maybe at least to see what he's doing. And hopefully, we've come also to hear what he might have to say, although we know already what he has to say, so it's not so important, we may think. No. With an open mind, we come to hear. And then, if we heard something that we found of interest, of enlightenment, then we may experiment and apply it within our lives, and then see what the result is. And that way we make progress a little bit at a time, by hearing a little, applying a little bit, and then we get that little bit of a realization. If we actually accepted at once that everything was Krishna's property, our whole lives would be completely transformed. Yes, everything is Krishna's property. Of course, my body, that we have a 50-50 relationship with Krishna. He's half owner, and I'm 51%, and he's 49% owner. But we cooperate. After all, Prabhupada said cooperate, so we cooperate with the Super Soul. No, the Super Soul is 100% owner of everything, nimitra matram bhava savasachin. And our only duty is to become an instrument. If we accepted that, then our life would be perfect. And if we accept it to 1%, then our life becomes 1% perfect. And after hearing or practicing our sadhana, we accept it to 1.5%, then we're 1.5% perfect. And as that way, our devotional service progresses. But in the Gurukul, previously they were so surrendered that they could learn to chant the Vedic mantras. They had such patience, they could learn 6 months to learn how to chant one letter in the alphabet. How many of us would bloop before the first week was out? What are they, or not even bother coming? Say we were having a class, how to chant the letter Ah in Sanskrit. And it was going to take 6 months to learn it. How many of us would come to class for 6 months to learn how to chant Ah? Maybe I didn't pronounce it right. But they do that, and after some training, because there's only like 48 letters of the Sanskrit alphabet, most of them are not as difficult as Ah, then they become so perfect in chanting that they were able to call at least, or they were able to manipulate the material world. When Prithvi Maharaj was doing his sacrifice, at that time, Indra, when he was doing his Rajasuya sacrifice, or Ashvamedha sacrifice, and at that time, Indra kept on coming in, stealing the horse, because he had gotten up to the 99th sacrifice, and he was going to equal Indra's 100 sacrifices. So Indra came in disguise and stole the horse. But Prithvi Maharaj had his son, and others tried to stop Indra. Indra kept on giving the horse back. Finally, Prithvi became a little disturbed and told the priest, chant the mantras and then throw Indra into the fire. Indra Swaha. Yes, and Indra was falling down from the sky into the fire, and he was going to be known as Dugda Indra, or Burnt Indra. But luckily, there was some interference by higher authorities, and Brahma came and said, don't burn Indra. It would be a loss. It's hard to get a good manager of the universe nowadays. Managers are hard to find. But they were that powerful, they could even throw Indra into the fire because they had perfectly learned how to pronounce the Vedic mantras. Of course, when one perfectly chants the Vedic mantras, they ring not only outside, but they also ring inside. Because unless it rings inside, you can't ring outside. In the sense, unless we learn here attentively how to chant, we can't learn how to. We won't be able to vibrate that sound. Things start from the subtle platform, and then they manifest themselves from the gross platform. So the Brahmins who can perfectly chant the mantra Ah or any others. Vedic letter, they had heard attentively and practiced perfectly and were able to pronounce like that. So similarly, we are also trying to hear attentively and then practice. Of course, we're not going to manifest anything in a sacrifice except for maybe some burnt grains. That's the only thing we can burn, some grains. And maybe the banana at the end if we throw it in the middle of the fire. Otherwise, it usually winds up on the side. So the point is that by perfect material prowess, by hearing attentively materially, one is able to do or perfectly acquire material powers. But we can't do that very easily. On the other hand, here it mentions devotion. That if we perform our activities with surrender, that's the beginning of devotion. Therefore, it says that without initiation, that there is no real connection with Krishna. So what does that initiation mean? It means that we've made a vow to be surrendered to the instructions of the spiritual master. So it's the quality of surrender. Because otherwise, our mentality in the material world is, yes, there are so many nice devotees, they say this, they say that, and I pick and choose the ones I like, and I give up the ones I don't like. No, so the idea is that we accept someone as an authority and then surrender. Because in ISKCON, that devotee is also accepting another authority himself. So it's not an independent authority. But anyhow, we have to accept some authority, because without accepting, making a vow to be surrendered, then we can give up our independent mind, independent to do what we like, whenever we like. And therefore, that mood of being a servant of Krishna's servants, Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayor, Dasa Dasa Anudasa, won't be there, and therefore we won't hear attentively what we're being asked to do. Because we have some other plan. We don't identify ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. In any case, that's the beginning, but that's not the end. Of course, when we're not surrendered, that is the end. We're really not surrendered. If it's just a show, Prabhupada initiated some people, and for instance, the first initiation, there were some devotees who were initiated, and after the initiation, no one ever saw them again. Does that mean that they went away liberated? No, that was the end of their devotional service, because they didn't understand very well what the purpose of initiation is. They were initiated to develop the mood of surrender, and then the next stage is, in that mood of surrender, to hear the knowledge and therefore make some spiritual advancement. It's the initiation in itself will not help us very much unless it gives us the mentality, the mood of listening attentively and applying in a mood of service what we hear, so we can please Krishna. And what happens when Krishna is pleased? By such chanting, he agrees to appear, just like here. It is not where we're going to chant our mantra, Shnik Shnik Ram Ram Day 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 Day, Hey Kitty Kitty, Hey Kitty Kitty, and then Krishna is going to appear. Or even if we chant Hare Krishna, just like nowadays, even where I was coming here on the way from, I've been to so many places, I forget where I came from. Where did I come from? That's good. I know we came from Krishna, but I came from Slovenia. And on the way there, someone, first it was Raghunath Maharaj's music, and then there was Indradu Maharaj's music, and then there was Krishna Das's music. Krishna Das's music, you know, the Paka Mayavadi? He's a Mayavadi who goes around the world and chants Hare Krishna. So I said, turn it, you know, this is not very good. We don't want to listen to Krishna Das. He's chanting Hare Krishna. He may be, he's not even a good musician, but anyhow, he's chanting Hare Krishna, but with a completely different mentality. Therefore, we can chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna will never appear. We have to have the mood of service, the mood of love. And then Krishna will appear, just like he appeared in the sacrifice. He'll appear before us, and that way we make progress in devotional service. If Krishna doesn't appear before us, there may be progress if we're becoming more anxious for Krishna to appear. But if we're chanting inattentively, if we don't really care whether Krishna appears, we just want to get our rounds done, then we may be a little disappointed. Our progress may be quite slow. So we not only have to surrender and do our service that we're supposed to do, but we have to do it in such a way as that we become receptive to transcendental knowledge. And how do we know if we're receptive to that transcendental knowledge? then we'll start remembering, for instance, little things like everything here belongs to Krishna. And everything we're doing should be for Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, naturally, we'll remember Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. And that's the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, is to become conscious of Krishna. And it's not that consciousness of Krishna doesn't come about by some mechanical process. It comes about by following the process, and then Krishna reveals himself to us. So when we remember Krishna in the right attitude, that's a revelation coming from following the instructions of the bona fide representatives of Krishna, the teachings of Prabhupada, teaching us how to live and act in this material world, how to see things in such a way as to perform our activities with devotion, and therefore manifest Krishna within our lives. Krishna manifests himself within our lives. But if we don't follow the process, we may remember Krishna, but we won't remember Krishna in a devotional way, and without that devotion, we won't actually make very much progress in devotional service or real Krishna consciousness. I hope I'm not getting too confusing here. So in other words, just to summarize it, first there has to be surrender, then there has to be hearing, then there has to be acceptance of the hearing, when we accept Krishna as God and everything else that goes along with that, namely that everything is his property, for instance, everything is meant for his pleasure, and I'm also supposed to become his instrument. I'm not the savior, I'm not the controller, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm simply an infinitesimal instrument, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Realized, understood by the process given to me by the disciple succession coming from the bona fide spiritual master. And by applying that in my daily life, when we apply it in our sadhana, then we make some advancement. But when we apply it in our daily lives, moment to moment, then we make a lot of advancement, and then we'll go back to the spiritual world. So it's not just a theoretical exercise that we do during class. It's a part of our, should become part of our lives, so that every moment I'm living in Krishna's energy, performing service to Krishna, and therefore realizing myself as the insignificant servant of Krishna, and therefore Krishna becomes pleased to help me to reveal himself to me, and therefore I become Krishna conscious, as that my life becomes full of consciousness of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, when he means when Sudama went to visit Krishna, he took along chipped rice.
Yeah. No.
Before. I never read that Sudama had any food for when they went to gather wood. Where did you hear that from? I never heard that. He took along some chipped rice to give to Krishna at Dwarka when he went to visit him, but we never heard that they had a in the cave during the rainstorm they were eating, you know, they had a big feast. They said they were cold and hungry. I can't remember. Again? It's been a long time ago. What's that? It's definitely not in the Krishna book. It's definitely not in the Krishna book. I don't know what scripture, do you know what scripture it's in? It's not in the Srimad Bhagavatam either. But anyhow, if you can find it. But what's the point of the question?
The point is like, yeah,
guided. Yeah, well, we have Prabhupada's books and we have Prabhupada's devotees, and I mean, we're not in Gurukul, I mean. And hopefully we can have some Gurukuls in the future. But there is a system. Prabhupada explained the system when he was in Gurukul. Generally, the elder devotees would teach, the older students would teach the younger students what they had learned. Now, that way there was some assistance that the spiritual master would have. It's not that he had to teach everyone, but he taught the elders, and the elders taught the youngers. Of course, the knowledge is much simpler than it is now, in the sense that it's not like everyone who was studying to become a quantum quantum physicist or something, and you had to have such technical knowledge. I mean, it was, you know, and then it was a little bit more simple. Simple, but very profound, because they had some depth of consciousness, of intelligence. Therefore, it wasn't, when someone said, it was quite, you know, after learning it properly, it was quite profound to hear it. And nowadays, they vibrate so many things at the universities, and they have no meaning whatsoever. Just some meaningless words that they use, but it's like, you know, some password. Gobbledygook password that you have to learn in order to enter into some kind of occupation. No, you don't apply it, you don't use it, but it's just some gobbledygook password that you utilize to finally you learn what you're supposed to do, which is press some button on a machine after 20 years of education. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, sure. Well, of course, it's all coming from Krishna. One may think it's without taking care of Krishna, but it's all coming from Krishna. Vedaistra savaraham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vida eva chaham. It's all Krishna's potency. All power comes from Krishna, whether we are conscious of it or not. Krishna is the doer. It's all his. But anyhow, you follow the process, you get the result. So Ravana's Brahmins were not Krishna conscious, but they were able to manifest the city of gold by Krishna's mercy, although they were demons. Yes. Oh, he became very attentive. Yeah, but our acharyas say that he remembered his previous life as a Brahmin, boy Brahmin. Therefore, the Vishnu Dutas came to save him because he had some very profound pious credits in the past. So it wasn't offensive. That's what they stressed. It wasn't offensive chanting. It wasn't. And therefore, remembering his son and remembering Narayan inoffensively, then the Vishnu Dutas came. But still, it wasn't perfection. It was his Nama Vas. He still had to make further progress. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Om.